The Haines School Board votes to discourage putting the Mosquito Lake School property up for sale. And we take a look at Haines and Skagway Representative Sam Keto's legislative session plans. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Mosquito Lake School was the main topic at the Haines School Board meeting Monday night. Upper Valley residents asked the school board to support their efforts to keep the building borough-owned so that it can eventually reopen as a school or community center. Last year, the Haines School Board closed Mosquito Lake School after enrollment dropped to 6 students. To get state funding, a school needs at least 10 children. Upper Valley resident Jim Stanford said the school is more than a school. When it was open, it served the whole community as an activity center and a meeting place for people who live from around 18 Mile to the border.
This is a facility that needs to be kept somehow. And I urge this board to please urge the manager, David Sosa, not to rush to sell this facility.
Stanford and others at the meeting said they think the borough has moved too quickly to try to sell the school building, which is worth about $800,000. Now the property is on the Planning Commission's Thursday meeting agenda, asking for approval to classify the property for sale. Dana Hallett said he and others don't know if there are enough students to reopen Mosquito Lake School next year, but he says getting rid of the property because there's a lull in student numbers is irresponsible.
What I would ask of the school board is right now tonight, what we can do is you can pass a resolution communicating with the Planning Commission to request that they do not place that piece of valuable property on this for sale list now. This is it is very, very premature. This is an extremely valuable piece of our infrastructure that has been used and will continue to be used by the community. We do not want to privatize this.
After about 45 minutes of public comment about Mosquito Lake School, the board voted to send a letter to the Planning Commission requesting that they not place the school property up for sale over the next fiscal year. Board members Mike Wilson and Tiffany DeWitt said they thought the decision to put the property up for sale was happening too fast. They asked, "What's the rush?" The school board also voted to send a survey to parents in the district asking if they might be willing to send their children to Mosquito Lake School. Superintendent Ginger Jewell said the survey should help the board get an understanding of whether there might be enough students not just next year but in the following years. And from a preliminary survey Friends of Mosquito Lake School conducted, it sounds like that could be the case. Amy Jacobson says their survey of Mosquito Lake area families found there were 4 children under age 3 whose parents are interested in sending them to Mosquito Lake School in the future. There are 11 preschool-aged kids, 7 whose parents are interested in a preschool there, and 10 elementary-aged kids. 3 are definite yeses, 7 are maybes. After the Mosquito Lake School discussion, the school board quickly went through other business. They approved 2 new hires and the resignation of school counselor Lindsay Moore, tenured staff contracts, and policy updates. They also approved an additional paraprofessional position for the rest of the school year. Like most Alaska lawmakers, Representative Sam Keto III is worried about the impacts of shrinking state budgets. He's especially concerned about funding for schools, police, and basic services. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld filed this report about Keto's session plans as part of a series on Southeast lawmakers' priorities.
Keto is entering his first full legislative session after filling in for most of last year. He was appointed last February to fill the seat vacated by Representative Beth Kurtula, who left for an academic position. He represents Juneau, Haines, Skagway, Gustavus, Tenneke Springs, and Excursion Inlet in northern Southeast. That's a change from last year when the district included Petersburg, but not some of the current communities. The Democrat is one of the newer, though not the newest, member of the House Minority Caucus. That limits his impact on legislation and budgets, but he still has plenty of plans for this year's session.
My goals are to make sure that we prioritize education, public safety, health care, that we take care of our essential infrastructure, that we make sure that we are able to maintain the infrastructure we have before we build new infrastructure.
Kito's background as a civil engineer has him focused in part on state construction projects. He's worried a drastic reduction in capital project spending will hurt Alaska's next big revenue generator.
I'd like to see the ability to sustain a construction industry to the point where when we have a very large project, the natural gas pipeline project, come in, that we're able to employ a lot of people that are living here in Alaska and not have to import people from the lower 48.
That said, he supports the governor's freeze on Southeast's biggest project, a road north from Juneau to a ferry terminal closer to Haines. He's also worried about other big projects that involve new construction. Instead, he wants available state funds spent on maintaining and improving basic services for communities, including those in his district.
Gus Davis is looking for some broadband support. Skagway and Juneau are looking for water and sewer support. Haines is looking for solid waste support. So basic infrastructure that really helps our lives be healthy and safe.
Many of Kito's constituents work for the state or government-funded programs. He says too many cuts could contribute to a crash.
If we only balance the budget or significantly decrease the budget based on cuts to state employee programs or state employees, we're going to see a lot of people out of work. Those people are not contributing to the economy, and we could end up in an economy tailspin.
Kito is introducing or co-sponsoring several pieces of legislation this year. One, co-sponsored by fellow Juneau Representative Kathy Munoz, would designate the capital city's historic Wickersham House as the Lieutenant Governor's residence.
It's really a matter of trying to bring a highlight to a historic building in Juneau, and the Lieutenant Governor can host events at the facility, and it helps preserve the history of the facility for the community.
The house was once home to James Wickersham, a federal judge, member of Congress, attorney, and explorer. The same bill passed last year, but was part of a package that was vetoed. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
How will Sea Alaska's takeover of Tongass land affect the National Forest transition to logging younger trees? That's a question before the Tongass Advisory Committee, which meets next week in Juneau. Petersburg District Ranger Jason Anderson says members want to know more about the Regional Native Corporation's land selections.
Generally speaking, the legislation is perceived to be pulling some of the older young growth land base, into Sea Alaska's management, which might impact the ability of the Forest Service land base to accelerate the move into young growth.
About 70,000 acres of the Tongass is being transferred to Sea Alaska under a bill passed by Congress late last year. The advisory committee was appointed last May to assist Tongass members with the transition. Its 15 members represent timber, environmental, tribal, business, and government interest in Southeast Alaska. It has 2 years to do its work, but Anderson says the panel is trying to meet an April deadline so its recommendations can be part of a larger Tongass management plan.
I think it's really going to come down to a question or a discussion with the committee and that diverse interest around the effects of accelerating young growth to try and, ramp down on old growth, and, what the trade-offs on those non-timber landscapes might be.
The advisory group will also take public testimony at the Juneau meeting. The Board of Game has voted down a proposal to allow hunters to use felt sole waders in Southeast Alaska. All hunters and sport fishermen are currently prohibited from using such waders to prevent the transmission of invasive species, but proponents of the change claimed the felt sole prohibition was unsafe and dangerous for hunters. The board is considering a variety of hunting, guiding, and trapping regulations during their regional meeting in Juneau this week. Board members also voted down proposals to allocate a majority of drawing permits to resident hunters. The proposal would essentially limit resident participation, since roughly 97% of all drawing permits are already awarded to Alaskans. but two previously tabled proposals setting up new goat hunts in the Haines area were brought back up and passed. One would establish the first ever youth registration for goats in an area just northwest of Haines. Hunters between 10 and 17 years old would be able to take one goat every 4 years while under the supervision of a licensed adult hunter. The Board of Game also deferred a proposal requiring hunters in the growing crossbow specialty to participate in a hunter education program. That has been moved to the next meeting focusing on statewide issues, which will likely be early next year. For KHNS Local News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.